Here is the noted news analyst, H.V. Kaltenborn, with a review of the latest developments in the European war. Mr. Kaltenborn.
Good afternoon, everybody. There are no sensational developments today. And what I will try to do is to give you a summary of the situation as it stands at this particular time. No naval engagement in the Kattegat or the Skagerrak. No reports of the continuing naval engagement off the Norwegian coast. Reports of heavy detonations that were heard in the Kattegat are explained by naval officials as probably due to depth charge explosions. It must be remembered that submarines, both German and British, are passing back and forth through this narrow stretch of water, and that the modern method of attack on a submarine is to drop a depth charge where it disappears. And that is what causes these explosions, which lead people on shore frequently to think that a heavy naval action may be in progress. Yesterday's statement by Winston Churchill that British forces have made no landings along the Norwegian coast was repeated today, and yet from other sources, from a German broadcast, we are told that the British are attempting to make some sort of attack on Narvik. French advices say this morning that the Allied counteroffensive in Norway is progressing favorably and that a German army of occupation of about 30,000 men is in what the French call a precarious position. The Norwegian port of Trondheim, which has an extremely deep fjord, is considered the likely point for British attack. Trondheim has rail communications direct to Sweden. It's a very deep, wide fjord. It provides an opportunity for naval action which some of the more narrow fjords do not provide. Therefore, it's considered a likely base for Allied Norwegian operations to drive the Germans from Norway. The German High Command reports today that British planes and light naval forces attacking Trondheim had been driven off. So let's watch events at Trondheim for likely developments. The British Admiralty gave notice today that they have mined four additional areas in the North Sea, the Skagerrak and the Kattegat. The area announced touches the Norwegian, the Danish, and the German coasts, and also territorial waters of Sweden and the Netherlands. Mines are to be laid in channels extending 10 miles on both sides of certain points. Now, the purpose of these new minefields is to cover the entire entrance to the Skagerrak and the Kattegat. That means that their purpose is to prevent German ships that are now out from getting back in, and German ships that are in from getting out. And obviously, the British have naval forces stationed at various points in the Skagerrak and the Kattegat to intercept any vessels that might get through or that might endeavor to get through by using minesweeping operations. It's obvious also that these naval units that have been engaged in that big battle in the Skagerrak have, for the moment, gone elsewhere, or at any rate, have ceased action, for there is no further report of any naval action either in the Skagerrak or directly off the Norwegian coast. However, we have reports of air action. A German ammunition ship was blown up and a supply ship damaged by the Royal Air Force, according to the latest communique from London. British bombers, we are told by London, attacked enemy ships over a wide area extending from Oslo Fjord to the Baltic coast of Germany. And one large vessel, an 8,000-ton ammunition ship, was hit by a heavy bomb and blown up with such force, say the British, that the attacking aircraft were rocked by the force of the explosion. And then a line of 8 to 10 vessels was attacked in the narrow waters of the Great Belt. That's a belt of water that connects the Kattegat with the Baltic Sea. And a 5,000-ton supply ship was believed to have been damaged, and a bombing attack was also made on a German seaplane base on the Baltic coast. Now, a communique from Berlin states that all Royal Air Force attacks on coastal fortifications on the Norwegian coast have been successfully repulsed, but there is no reference to any attack on ships and no denial or acknowledgement of the sinking of this German ammunition ship. Berlin's report emphasizes the fact that German warplanes severely damaged a British aircraft carrier and a cruiser 125 miles off the Norwegian coast. It says that light units of the British Navy were repulsed while attempting to enter Trondheim Fjord. British air raids on Trondheim and Stavanger were beaten off. One Vickers Wellington bomber was shot down. This is the German communique which I am summarizing. The military occupation of Norway is proceeding according to systematic schedule. The German-occupied area at Narvik, the northern Norwegian iron ore port, was expanded inland to Elvenes without resistance. Well, we had that reported 2 days ago. That would indicate to me that they haven't gone any farther than they had gone 2 days ago. The German claimed today to have landed reinforcements at Narvik, but a Berlin broadcast reports that the British effort to seize Narvik is continuing. German troops are reported to have reached Drammen about 25 miles east of Oslo and Eidsvoll about 40 miles northeast of Oslo. Well, that also suggests to me that they haven't made much advance because according to yesterday's reports and that of the day before, they had marched approximately that distance from Oslo. Now, a Berlin spokesman said this: the German positions in Norway and Denmark are becoming stronger and already are so consolidated that the possibility of successful British counteraction has disappeared completely. Occasional clashes with Norwegian military forces are acknowledged, but they are described as of no military significance. Well, that's taking a good deal for granted. The Norwegian army is intact the moment the Germans get farther in, assuming that they've got 30,000 men, as has been said, and they certainly haven't landed much more than that. Even landing 30,000 is quite a feat. They used airplanes, troop ships, warships to do it, but they've got them scattered over a considerable area. And 30,000 men, while they might be able to hold Oslo, they certainly couldn't do much in marching into the interior, because the farther they go, the more resistance they will encounter, the longer their line of supply, the more men must be detached to serve that line of supply, the more likely the isolated detachments are to meet with counterattack and destruction. So it's a safe guess the Germans are not going to advance very much further, and the assertion that they're in an impregnable position, well, it's just one of those assertions. Germans are still dealing with the Norwegian government, trying to work out a situation by which King Haakon, at least, would acknowledge the right of Germany to protect Norway. They say that they're withholding recognition from the government of Major Quisling. Well, they helped create it, and one wonders why they withhold recognition from it. He assumed the Norwegian premiership without authority from the king. What the Germans are trying to do is to get the king to approve the Major Quisling government. Efforts are being made, they say, to have King Haakon clarify the situation. Of course, the Germans add that whoever is recognized as the official head of the Norwegian government must be aware of the realities of the present situation and German interests in the north. So Berlin claims to still recognize King Haakon, and they issued orders to the German ambassador, German minister in Oslo today, to try and get negotiations continued with the king in order to try and persuade him to accept German rule. Hambro, president of the Norwegian parliament, who's now in Stockholm, says that nowhere does one see any signs of Norway surrendering to Germany, that mobilization is proceeding, and that news from Norway and statements by authorities will be sent out in Norwegian and English by the British wireless. The German control radio station at Oslo is appealing to the Norwegian people to stop fighting and warns them that anyone failing to cooperate will be shot. Well, those who fail to cooperate will be shot, and those who cooperate are not in a much more favorable position. Denmark today buried with military honors the 12 men who died in scattered resistance to Germany's occupation. Her people are beginning to make the readjustments that are forced by the pinch of war. Reserve stocks are rapidly being depleted. Rationing and other new restrictions are inevitable and will soon come. The Copenhagen Press, interestingly enough, concentrates its editorial interest on Denmark's future economically under the new situation. Well, obviously, there's been much talk about the surplus of butter in Denmark, but there is a shortage of feedstock to produce more butter. Denmark is not self-sustaining in food values. Her dairy industry is really a great factory which depends on raw material imports from the outside world. And today, she's cut off not only from neutrals, but from her chief sources of supply. She is also without access to the seas and without her merchant marine. And of course, Denmark has been importing practically all the feedstuffs that she uses for her cattle industry. The British Embassy announced today that all contraband goods consigned to or destined for Denmark will be detained or seized by the Allies in view of the fact that Denmark is under German occupation and control. And the embassy also announced that goods of Danish origin or ownership will be detained under the reprisals order. The British Embassy in Washington has suspended the issuance of permits to sell goods to Norway, Sweden, Finland, Lithuania, Estonia, Latvia until further notice. Of course, that means that U.S. exports to those countries can't be continued for the time being. And as you know, the United States has accepted these arbitrary British actions primarily because of our interest in the Allied cause. We are neutral, but we are benevolently neutral towards the Allies. The German official news agency reported today that British warplanes had bombed a German railway station in Schleswig-Holstein. The Germans immediately intimated that reprisals would be expected if such bombings were repeated. Now, it's interesting that a high official at the Air Ministry in London immediately denied that British planes had bombed a railway station in Schleswig-Holstein. Now, what's the reason for that keen interest in the bombing of a railway station? Well, it's this, that it would be the first instance where either Britain or Germany had deliberately bombed an interior point in either country. And remember that each country has said that the moment the other country starts bombing cities and thereby killing civilians, that there will be immediate reprisals. And so obviously, neither Germany nor Britain are eager to be the first to start this war on the civilians by air. As you know, there's been much talk of danger to Holland, danger to the Balkans. But I think much of that is rumor. It's natural that it should come at this particular time when the world is alarmed because of the new drive against Denmark and against Norway by Germany. But if history repeats itself, Germany will concentrate on its present effort in Norway and get that into better shape before she undertakes any new adventure. So one would think that while it's natural that the Dutch and the other neutral nations should take these precautions, certainly an attack on Sweden is infinitely more likely at the present time than an attack on either Holland or Belgium or Hungary or Romania. President Roosevelt commented today on the question of applying the Monroe Doctrine to Greenland and Iceland. He said that he's been reading history with reference to those two points. Greenland, he says, belonged to the American rather than the European continent, which suggests that if we do decide to apply the Monroe Doctrine and to announce that we are definitely interested in these new developments, that we would consider Iceland in the European sphere of interest, but Greenland definitely in the American sphere. That would seem to be logical, for the one is definitely a part of the American continent, whereas the other much more logically belongs to Europe. Britain, of course, has occupied the Faroe Islands and is in a position to prevent German occupation of Iceland. And while the British Navy holds the seas, there is no German naval threat to the New World. Good afternoon.
You have just heard a review of the latest developments in the European war, as given by H.V. Kaltenborn, noted news analyst. Mr. Kaltenborn will be heard again today over many of these stations at 7:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is the National Broadcasting Company, RCA Building, Radio City, New York.